B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, the show you'll be talking about in therapy.
That wasn't me.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, I know obviously you worked a lot with Mac personally last year, but do you see your individual time being spent more with Mac this year with some of the turnover, obviously, in the staff?
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I've done a variety of things. I'll do what I feel like helps the team the best, whatever that is.
How confident are you that Mac will be an improved player from the end of last year to the start of the next one?
It's a new year for all of us, so we'll see.
I'm assuming you're not going to name an offensive or defensive coordinator this year. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not big on titles, so we have jobs to do. We'll do the jobs.
Does that create any confusion as to, like, accountability and chain of command and things like that?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what difference it makes.
What difference does it make? You know, I have an offensive coordinator. Don't have a quarterbacks coach. Don't have anyone on the team that's ever called plays. I don't know what difference that makes.
Oh, you're an idiot for asking it.
Hour number three, Felger and Maz on a reentry Monday. That is one of the things that bugged me that he said today. Because I've come to realize it's such bullcrap. He says, I'm not big on titles. They've been saying that for years down there. We're not big on titles. When the fact is, they're obsessed with titles. They are obsessed with titles. And you know it because they have no offensive and defensive coordinator. If they weren't obsessed with titles, they would just have an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator like everybody else. And no one would think twice about it. You might question whether the guy was qualified for the job or not, but we're not talking about why anyone has this title or that title. It would be a non-story. The only reason it's a story here is because they're obsessed with titles. It's just the opposite when they say Bill's not big on titles. So they have no offensive or defensive coordinator for some reason that's important to them. They don't want to pay the guy. Bill has some sort of antiquated notion of working your way up through the ranks and not being handed anything until you've earned it. And so you'll have the job, but not the title. Or they're playing games with another team who's paying someone's salary. If Joe Judge is just a generic assistant or consultant, as opposed to a quarterback coach, quote unquote, the Pats can pay him a certain amount of money, and then that offset language with the Giants doesn't apply, and the Pats can save money for that reason, so there's some games being played when it comes to that. And maybe it's just generic, where Bill just, I'm in charge, it's my show, and you're just an assistant, and I don't need to name your coordinator, and I don't know what difference it makes anyway. But for some reason, or for whatever reason, it is important to them. They are, not only are they not big on titles, they're huge on titles.
It is so disingenuous because, again, you could just as easily say to him, I don't care about titles. Well, then why don't you just give it to him?
Exactly. Why don't you have an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator like everybody else if you don't care about it?
It is just so disingenuous. And, again, from a guy who, as defensive coordinator of the New York Giants when he was younger, counts his Super Bowl championships as if they were his own as head coach. And Murray, was it you who said this? And he made a great point, too. Or was it a caller? About, well, Bill, if titles don't matter, what do you say we take away head coach?
Well, me.
I think it was a caller. Yeah. Like, really? That's a great one, too. I would just shut up. The titles mean everything to you. The power structure means everything to you. All of that does. So, like, the money's part of it. Like, I don't want to just completely ignore that. So, because I think that that's a big reason why they don't anoint these guys. But I also wonder whether they really have anybody that's qualified right now, particularly in the offensive side of the ball.
Still, given his personality and what he cares about, the military and structure being one of them, it makes no sense for him to say that. Titles don't matter.
It's because they do matter. Yeah, right. They matter. That, you know they matter because they have no offensive or defensive coordinator. That's how you know they matter. If they didn't matter, they wouldn't. They just, he's the OC and he's the DC, and they get on with their lives. But they're obsessed with their titles. So it's just the opposite, Bill, William. So basically, Belichick today at the owners' meetings at the Breakers in Palm Beach confirmed no offensive or defensive coordinator. He'll be taking a bigger role in the offense. Matt Patricia and Joe Judge will be heavily involved in the offense. He said it in so many words, if not those exact words. Let's play again number three, Kevin, back there, if you could, please.
Great to have Joe Judge back and Matt, of course, and they're two really good coaches, you know, along with some of the other coaches that we have offensively, you know, Nick Haley, so Troy and so forth, guys were here last year. So we're working through it. Do the best we can here.
Is it a step back at all in losing a coach of Josh's caliber? You've spoken about him a million times in the past, but to lose that kind of mentor for Mac going into a critical second year.
Yeah. Got to think Matt and Joe are pretty good coaches. Josh's a great coach, but, you know, we've gone through that multiple years, so.
Good morning, Coach. I'm just wondering with Joe Judge back, is he going to have a defined role or will he be more of a troubleshooter on the offense?
Yeah, well, no, everybody will have a defined role like they always do. Again, the offseason's the offseason. Once we get to getting on the field, coaching the players and game planning and things like that, then, you know, that'll all work itself out.
Is your staff complete? And who do you envision calling plays on offense?
Yeah, I won't be calling any for a while. So we're not calling any for a while. I don't know any games at all. So, yeah, I think our staff is complete. Wouldn't rule anything out, but I don't think we necessarily would hire anybody else.
Okay. So we've gone through that multiple times, multiple years, he said. You know, the sort of flux on the coaching staff, which is true. Do you think it's a little different now that Tom Brady's not here?
No. I think it's a lot different now.
Do you think Bill gets that yet?
No.
Nope.
No, he doesn't. He definitely doesn't. He's just, you know, same thing. He's operating like totally head stuck in the ground. It's the same old classic bull crap. And to sit here and like, and also, first of all, when he talks about guys being able to jump on other sides of the ball and switch over and puts Judge and Patricia in the same breath as Josh McDaniels, I think that belittles McDaniels. I do. I'm sorry. McDaniels was a good offensive coordinator, and he was good at nurturing young quarterbacks.
Well, that he actually says that here. Where Reese follows up on Matt Patricia, number four. Kevin, if you could, please.
Bill, you were talking about Matt Patricia with the offensive staff. His primary background with you has been defense. What do you see him adding to the offensive staff?
Yeah. Well, we've had a lot of coaches take multiple responsibilities. Josh and Brian Daboll were on defense and they went to offense. Matt was on offense and went to defense, so forth and so on. So I'm not really worried about that. I think a good coach is a good coach. And Mac's a great coach. Joe's a great coach. They'll help us no matter what position they coach.
And just to follow up on that, how would you describe his role with the organization? Like the fact he's here with you today suggests like he's more than maybe just like a more than that.
Broad role, very broad. He does a lot of things, helps me in a lot of ways.
Broad role for Matt Patricia, terrifying. Okay, that's one item, and that's legit. They're big on him. Bill's big on him. I guess the Crafts are big on him. This is a guy. This is a guy that's going to be in our face for a long time until he gets any real control, and then they go 4-12, and then he won't be in our face 4-13. But he's going to be in our face until that time he fails. So get ready for that. Having to look at that guy. But so the things, there's so many things that bug me in those comments. We've gone through this over multiple years. Like going through it with Tom Brady as your quarterback versus a second year kid and Mac Jones is the exact same thing. Ridiculous. The defined roles. Yeah, we'll have defined roles. It'll work itself out. Won't be calling any plays for a while, so it doesn't matter who's calling the plays now, does it? Just sort of like, that's one thing when you have Tom Brady here and Rob Gronkowski and Wes Welker and Troy Brown and go down through the line, Julian Edelman. It's one thing when you have those guys. Yeah, you don't need a play caller in March. because you got Tom Brady. You'll figure it out. But you're acting like it's the exact same thing now? With all those receivers, half of whom don't know their ass from their elbow, and a second year quarterback will figure it out? Like, does Bill get it?
No.
He doesn't. This is another example of him just carrying on like Tom Brady's still here.
Or he's just intent on giving everybody the finger right now because, they've taken a beating since free agency started, if you ask me, rightfully so. And let's go back farther. It's really since the whole coaching staff thing started. So he's got his back up about it, I think. But if he can't understand why people are worried, then he's so disingenuous about it.
But that whole thing about we've had multiple coaches taking multiple roles for a long time. Josh moved on different sides of the ball. Daboll did it. Matt Patricia did it, which is, again, this is so disingenuous. All those guys, Josh McDaniel, Brian Daboll, and Matt Patricia, yes, did start on the opposite side of the ball. But it was only for a couple of years. They were in their 20s, and they just got here. So for the first couple of years on the staff, Matt Patricia was an offensive assistant, and Josh McDaniels was a defensive assistant. But they never coached a position, except Matt Patricia was an assistant offensive line coach under Scarnecchia for 1 year. But it was just the first couple of years they were here, and then they switched to the other side of the ball where they've remained their entire career. So to say Josh McDaniels went from defense to offense back in 2005, whatever year it is, is the same as Matt Patricia now going to offense after he spent the last 17 years coaching defense, including as a head coach, is so disingenuous and asinine. I don't know where to begin with it.
Yeah, and you could say asinine first. That's another one, too. Like, just to be a wise ass, someone could have asked, oh, well, how come he didn't bring Mayo over to the offensive side? Like, why wasn't he a candidate to be on the offensive side of the ball?
Patricia and Judge are established guys on different sides of the ball where they went as head coaches. And we're head coaches, and sort of that was their area of expertise. That is not the same as Brian Daboll starting out as a defensive assistant as a 20-something-year-old slappy and then going to offense a couple years later and staying there the rest of his career.
See, some of these answers, too, just shows you how much Bill really can't defend it.
So I just think the words do bug me, and we are picking them apart, but it's really that they're actually doing it still to me just remains outrageous.
Stunning.
What they've done with their staff is just, to me, crazy. All right, there's your Patriots Reset. Back with your calls on everything right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hiring. The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, do the titles make a difference for guys when they want to proceed to different jobs? For instance, a defensive coordinator looking for a head coaching job doesn't have to go in if he's just a linebackers coach and explain what his responsibilities are. Additionally, it matters relative to salary around the league, I would think. So those would be two places that the title matters.
Yeah. I don't know. You'd have to talk to them about that.
Yeah. Right.
Didn't seem to matter when Joe Judge was hired by the Giants.
Did it matter to you when you were an assistant, for instance? When you were a defensive coordinator with the Giants or
the Jets? I don't worry about titles. I worry about jobs.
Bill sort of stumbled on that last part. I don't worry about titles. I worry about jobs. Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said, jobs. Not sure what he means. But like, maybe he's worried about keeping his own.
What a great point. Did the title matter to you with the Giants?
Of course it did.
Your game plan's in the Hall of Fame.
Of course it did. So when he's young, they matter. When he gets old and he's a head coach, he has to pay the assistants. Now they don't matter.
Didn't they carry him off on the shoulders, too?
I think that's right.
Like one of those. Am I confusing him with Buddy Ryan? Whatever. It's like, he was the defensive coordinator of the New York Giants for those two Super Bowls. He was credited with those scheming those defense because he was the defensive coordinator. He wasn't linebacker's coach with some nebulous title with the coach's kid alongside of him and whose game plan was and who called the plays and no one knew. It was clearly defined.
Yeah, again, Bill believes in whatever serves him at the time. That's what he believes in. Whatever serves him at the time. Again, I did like Curran's response there in the middle. Like, well, you know, once you go outside, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's so flippant. It just is. It's so like, yeah, okay, F you.
All right. Back to your phones on everything we've hit on so far today. David in Cambridge on Rob Williams and that injury. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Hey, first of all, it was really nice to see, you know, Pookie get smacked by the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air last night. That was a classic. But look, man, losing Rob Williams, that is significant, okay? We're not going to just take the human stove, Daniel Tyson, plug him in, and have a chance to win the title, all right? This guy is a rim protector. He's up to Defensive Player of the Year, and it's really about three in the NBA. You know, when they lost Garnett in 09, they went their chance to defend. When they lost Perkins in 10 in Game 6, they didn't win Game 7 because they couldn't get a rebound.
So, David, if you're telling me you're losing in Game 6 of the NBA Finals because you've lost Rob Williams, I agree. He prevents you, if he's done, that injury prevents you from winning 4 rounds, 7 games, fine. It should not prevent you from beating the Bulls, the Cavs, any other swag that comes out of that play-in tournament other than the Nets. It, in my mind, shouldn't prevent you from beating the Sixers, who I don't believe in. It probably even shouldn't prevent you from beating the Heat, who are kind of falling apart at the seams, and you still have more high-end talent than. So you want to tell me that means you lose Game 7 to the Bucks? I'll give it to you. You lose Game 7 to a fully loaded and engaged Brooklyn team? Big if. I might give it to you. But I'm not. All of a sudden, you can't say they're sunk. No, they should be winning these first and second round matchups, depending on who they are, with Rob Williams or without him.
Yeah, look, again, this is part of the reason they got Tice. So look, again, I'm not telling you Daniel Tice is on the same level as Robert Williams, but the idea is that one goes out, the other comes in, and at least you have the same skill set, albeit at a lesser level. But that's the whole idea with Derek White, too, is that you're just keeping the same types of players in there so the system keeps running.
Ryan and Malden. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, Chris Rock took that slap like a man, and Will Smith slaps like a girl. But yeah, I got to talk about Robin Williams. I think it's a big blow to the Celtics, but I do think they're going to make the playoffs, and for that reason, why? It's because Marcus Smart is playing out lights defense, and along with Tatum and Brown playing a lights out offense.
Okay, yeah, all that is obvious. I'm just not letting them off the hook, like all of a sudden they can't do anything because they've lost Rob Williams. If Jason Tatum is the MVP, we all think he is, then you're winning most of these series anyway. You got the MVP. Those guys win. That's the way it works, whether you have your third or fourth best player or not. And that's, you know, let's not overstate what Rob Williams is. He's an important piece, but he's your third or your fourth?
I think he's their third. They take a hit, and it sucks. But for all that is said about Daniel Tice and his return, and Grant Williams, sorry, Batman, if you people want to keep talking him up, then okay, you shouldn't be that worried about this then.
I mean, look, they could get Chicago, Cleveland, or Toronto in the first round still.
You should win with or without Rob Williams.
All three of those teams you should beat. Right. And, you know, as you mentioned, it didn't even occur to me. Well, then Tatum's going to have to play, get more active around the rim. If Williams is not there, then Tatum's going to have to be a bigger factor defensively around the rim.
Tatum thinks he should be an MVP. Okay. And Jaylen Brown thinks he's a first-team All-NBA, second-team All-NBA. Okay. Prove it. You win without Rob Williams, if that's who you are. And that's who I think they are, by the way. So I think they will and they should. I'm just not going to play this game that I can already feel building. Like, they get a, you know, get out of jail free pass if they happen to lose. And if they win, they've overcome this massive adversity. Would you stop with this? You got two, you know, all NBA guys at the top of your roster. You should be winning most of these series. Mary in Manchester on the Patriots coaching staff. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. Hi, guys. So before I get to the Patriots, I just want to congratulate Maz on his new gig with Neeson. But
thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. So, you know, with the Pats, I feel like it's a little bit hard to be a Patriots fan these days because you see all these teams and they're loading up with this great talent and players, and the Patriots are doing nothing. And, you know, I'm most excited about Mac Jones in the fall because I think that there's the most potential for growth there. But what I'm less excited about is that there's no definitive offensive coordinator. And I'm holding out hope that maybe they'll reach out to Bill O'Brien. I know there was some talk about that. I don't know if it's dead in the water or if that's still in the mix. Maybe they're just being coy about it. But do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, he said he didn't expect any changes from here on out. He says he wouldn't rule it out, but he wouldn't expect to add by this point. This is it. This is what they got.
Oh, yeah. No. This is the staff. And the fact that they would do the worst part of the whole thing, obviously, is that they would do this with a second-year quarterback who has the promise that Mac Jones does. Like, that's the part I find to be really, like, borderline negligent.
I mean, it's if Tom Brady were still here, yes, you could dink around with your titles, and you could say, we don't have a game for 6 months, so we don't need to name the offensive play call. Yes, you could do all that because you have Brady. You know, I think it'd be important for Mac Jones. I mean, the offseason camps start here pretty soon. I think the offseason program, phase one, starts here at some point, I think soon. And it's like, don't you think it'd be nice to know who his quarterback coach is and who is going to be calling the plays? An offensive play call in the NFL, that's an incredibly important position.
Bill has too much power.
I mean, so either he's lying, which is okay. Like, I'll even give him half a pass for that. He just doesn't want to tell us yet. But half of me believes that it's actually true. And Bill says, yeah, we'll figure it out. We always have. As if he still has Tom Brady.
Well, so that whole, but that part, that line, he'll figure it out, is something that a lot of fans would say, he'll figure it out. And I would say, when that happens, you have too much power. That's what it is. He can get away with whatever he wants.
Tony and Stoneham on the Bruins. Hi, Tony.
How you doing? You know, we could have a hell of a season this year between the Celtics and the Bruins, the way they're going, if they can hold it up. Maz, I want to congratulate you. That was excellent yesterday. I'm looking forward to the baseball season again this year.
Okay, I've gotten a lot of love for Maz on the Nesson broadcast. I think you deserve credit, absolutely. Does anyone hate it? Have you gotten any hate mail?
Not that I can. Well, I'm sure there's some on Twitter. I haven't really checked it.
You don't dig in there?
Yeah, not a ton.
Never look at the mentions, Maz. You know
yeah,
that.
No, I told you. I treat it like a Molotov cocktail.
Tweet and run.
Yep, tweet and run, baby. You light that thing, you toss it, and you bolt. Run like hell.
We will get to Maz and his Nesson stint over the weekend coming up later on in the show.
Can we put a little stop on like the hey, congratulations on the new job thing?
We generally frown on pleasantries.
Let's just move on. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's move on.
Brendan and Easton. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hi. I don't know how much you guys have watched Giants football over the years, and if you haven't watched much, consider yourself lucky. But you don't need to watch to look at the numbers. Joe Judge and his offense and his years coaching for the Giants were absolutely horrendous, and he ruined Daniel Jones. I mean, that guy's in shambles, and now he's going to be working on the offense for your second-year quarterback of the Patriots? I mean, I don't know what the hell Bill's doing.
Brendan, Patricia and Judge left their teams in smoldering ruins.
Here's numbers to back up what he's talking about. So in Daniel Jones' rookie season, it was Pat Shurmur that was the head coach there at the Giants. He threw 24 touchdowns in 12 games.
He was pretty good.
Yeah.
He ran too, Murray. He was pretty good.
In 25 games under Joe Judge, he threw 21 touchdowns.
Oh, he totally regressed. Do you remember that first year with Daniel Jones?
Yeah, 24 and 12, and then 25 games under Judge, 21 touchdowns.
And he also had a couple of late wins. Remember, he ran for a touchdown late to win a game. Like, there were a couple of games in there where you looked at it and go,
I could see why they drafted him this high.
Yeah, maybe this kid's got a shot. I thought he had a shot coming out.
And just the way he carried himself there.
Oh, God.
Like, not ready for it. Harry High School in over his head.
We're going to be a blue-collar team for blue-collar fans. Oh, he's the worst.
And Patricia with his freaking arrogant, you know.
I had one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history. I don't know what you're talking about.
Guys are not capable. And look, I can hear the defense on the other side, which is, well, Belichick failed as a head coach and they brought him back as an assistant. He obviously knew what he was doing. Do you understand how much more successful Bill was in Cleveland than these two bozos? Bill made the playoffs in Cleveland. He made the playoffs. Took him a couple of years, but he made the playoffs as a Browns coach. He still sucked in Cleveland, but
he had to name coordinators for that to happen. When he was
right. He made the playoffs. Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. I was just trying to do this quickly. Patricia in Detroit, 6-10, 3-12, 4-7.
Hold on, go slow. I'll do it quick for you. 6-10, 4-12, 3-7. Go.
Yeah, and I think it was actually 3-12-1. So 6-10. 3-12-1, 4-7.
Okay.
Joe Judge, 6-10, 4-13.
That is great. Okay, so combined they were 22-62-1. That is great.
They're not.
Was that bad?
They're not capable. You know, and Bill, yes, he failed in Cleveland, and it was a disaster in Cleveland. But compared to these two, Bill did have a good run. He made the playoffs, and until that last year, he was a .500 coach or something like that. until they announced the move and the whole thing fell apart. But he was at or around 500 until that time. These two, Patricia could, you know, Patricia couldn't get through his last year. He's fired. Joe Judge literally run out on rails with pitchforks. And these two guys now who have not coached on offense for years are now in charge of your most valuable asset in your entire franchise, your second-year rookie, you know, second-year young quarterback.
22-62-1. That sounds like the Buffalo Sabres.
I mean, it just can't be said enough.
That is so bad.
All right. I have one more bill cut to get to, and it was on Malcolm Butler, which leads me to a Malcolm Butler thought of the day, his return to the Patriots, and what his return says and what insight it can give us about why he was benched in that Super Bowl against Philly. I have a developing opinion on that. We'll get to it after Big Jim Murray gets you up to it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill, I wanted to ask you more about Malcolm Butler. His return, I feel like, blew a lot of us away. What's your relationship like with Malcolm, and have you ever talked about the Eagles Super Bowl?
Talked about what?
The Eagles Super Bowl and how he didn't play in that game.
That's all old news.
What's your relationship like with Malcolm now?
Good. Yeah, great. Glad to have him back.
All right, Bill on Malcolm Butler. He didn't really answer anything. There's nothing revelatory there. Although I did. Bill is such a weasel.
What's your relationship?
How do you feel about having Malcolm Butler back? And have you talked to him since that Eagles Super Bowl, Bill?
Talk about what?
Talk about what?
What?
What are you talking about?
What'd you say? What?
talk about what?
Huh?
Talk about what?
So disingenuous.
You know the Super Bowl that you lost?
Yeah.
Where you gave up 500 yards and 40 points and you didn't play your best corner? Remember that one?
What?
So good.
He is such a
child about it.
He really is. Such a passive aggressive weasel.
Huh?
What?
Talk about what?
Talk about what? What are you talking about?
Talk about what?
Oh.
You freaking weasel.
What?
That's the kind of stuff I would expect, like a follow-up D's nuts joke or something like that.
God, talk about what? D's? Huh? I don't know what you're talking about.
D's nuts.
He's so Bill. All right, but my theory on Malcolm Butler is this, and I got help from it. It didn't originally occur to me, but I want to credit my friend. I'll call him Michelle. I was in a French territory last week. Michelle breaks it down for me. He says, "What, you know?" He asked me, "What does a Malcolm Butler signing mean about, you know, the Super Bowl?" I said, "Well, I actually kind of give them the Pats credit. They're willing to let bygones be bygones. I give them both credit that whatever beef they had, they're willing to bury the hatchet because, well, the Pats need a corner. He needs a job, and, you know, they're willing to bury that, and so good for them." He says, "But what do you think it means about what happened back there in 2017? I'm like, I don't know what it means. That, I guess, whatever it was, the Pats, if you're willing to give the Pats a good contract, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It's like, no. Think about it. If what he did in 2017 was so bad that got him benched from the Super Bowl, would they bring him back? I'm like, no, it was probably something petty that they benched. Exactly.
Especially when the same guy's on the defensive coaching staff.
Exactly the point that my friend Michelle made, which is this. It's if what Malcolm Butler did, what this does is makes Bill's decision making back in 2017 look even worse. Because obviously, whatever Malcolm Butler did to get benched in that Super Bowl wasn't a big enough deal for them to deny him another chance 4 years later.
Correct.
In other words, I'm fumbling around with this.
It was minimal enough that they got over it.
It was petty enough to get over. It was minimal enough for them to forgive and forget and bring him back. which is not always the case. Like, for example, when they kicked Adalys Thomas out of here, he had done so much and created so much ill will and done so much that was, you know, that was counter to the team that they weren't going to bring that guy back. He was done.
He undermined Bill a lot.
He was done because the things that he did were so bad, they were not going to let him back in the door. Randy Moss, by the time he left, and I don't care how much they hug and kiss now, Randy Moss almost got into a fist fight with Bill O'Brien. And so Bill said, get out of here. Randy Moss played several more years. He was never coming back because what he did was the point of no return. It was the nuclear button. Antonio Brown, they weren't going to bring that guy back. He's still out there. They could bring him back today. He's done. He's not coming back. What he did was so over the line, so egregious, they're done with him. Whatever Malcolm Butler did didn't cross that line. It was just something that crawled up Bill's ass that week or Steven's ass that week, and so they sat him and lost the game because of it. It makes him look worse.
It does.
You know what I mean?
Yes, it does, and especially when you consider, again, that they had opportunities to get him on the field and they didn't do it.
So, I mean, I heard it was as petty as an Instagram post with Belichick's wife, like something catty like this, like you, as usual, because everyone gets so freaking bent out of shape about what's posted on social media for some reason. It's such a trigger for everyone. And was it just as simple as a picture with the wrong person or whatever? But whatever it was, if what Malcolm Butler did was so egregious that they had to kick him off the team and keep him off that game, then you don't bring him back. You don't bring him back. But this shows that what he did, whatever it was just kind of minor.
Especially when Steven Belichick is co-defensive coordinator, effectively.
And Patricia. It was right. Patricia and Steve Belichick were the two principals there on that side of the ball for that game. And whether it was Bill's decision, if it wasn't Bill's decision, it was Patricia's or Steve's. And so he didn't play. Well, all those guys are still here, and they bring him back. It means that what he did wasn't that bad, and they're able to get over it. Yet you weren't able to get over it in the second half of that game when you could have used him? What's the matter with you?
Yeah, and he kept, was it Bademosi?
Yeah, Johnson Bademosi and...
Jordan Richards?
Yes, Jordan Richards. That's right, you remembered that.
Yeah.
Oh, Jordan
getting
Richards.
Getting torched up and down the field.
Freaking Stanford kid.
Like, I get you trading Randy Moss when you did and never having him back. He threatened to beat up a coach. Bye, you're never coming back. And I, you know, that was part of the rumor with Butler as well, Mal, that he and Steve got into some sort of physical altercation. I tend to doubt it.
No, you can now. It's proof. It's something relatively innocuous,
which is makes it even worse.
Malcolm Butler should also maybe have some pride and find another job somewhere else. You need it that bad, dude.
But anyway, so there's my developing Malcolm Butler opinion on that. Back to phones on everything on a long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of the day, it's still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I feel very fortunate to coach two of the best at the position that I've ever played. Certainly Matt Slater, you know, go out there with in a kicking game with you know, Brady on offense and Taylor on defense. So I feel very, very fortunate to have had the opportunity to coach those, all the players, but let's say those three in particular.
And that was another whopper. He's got Matthew Slater in the same sentence as Tom Brady and Lawrence Taylor.
Why, you don't think he doesn't belong there?
Oh my God, it's just so bad. So he's still stuck on this thing. This special teams thing. And he's even got that wrong. Like, I hope he can clarify. Matthew Slater, the best coverage guy ever, which I still, I mean, how would I know? But I still tend to doubt.
I thought LT was a better coverage guy.
Right, Matt Bill.
Right.
You can talk your face off on LT covering punts his rookie year. But Matthew Slater is one of the best cover guys of all time. Like, fine, I'll take your word for it. I don't pay attention. But to call him the best special teamer of all time? When I get, never mind Ray Guy or Adam Vinatieri or some of the kickers. Who'd you rather have on your special teams unit, as I asked before? Deion Sanders returning punts or Matthew Slater covering them?
Deion.
Jesus. Brian Mitchell. I know someone like that. And again, I'll say it again. You don't even use him against the Bills because you can't force him to punt.
This I do know. This I can tell you. Troy Brown was a better special teams player than Matthew Slater. Far more impactful. Far more. There had to have been times when he was a gunner. I can't remember exactly, but I bet he was. I mean, he was hell. One of the reasons you lost to the Packers in that Super Bowl in 96 is because Troy missed the game. And that was his lane that Desmond Howard ran up. Hassan Graham took his spot on that kick team, and he ran right up where Troy Brown was supposed to be. And Troy will tell you, I wouldn't have gotten blocked out. He was held on the play. He said, I wouldn't have been held on that play. But either way, Troy Brown was a better special teamer than Matthew Slater. I don't mean to say that with scorn in my voice. Matthew Slater's been a great Patriot, but it's just, I'm saying it about Bill.
It's ridiculous. So when you talk about like the profile of the position, to put that in the same breath as Brady and LT is preposterous.
Asinine.
It is preposterous to do that.
Well, I still think it's insulting to even put LT with Brady. And that's still Bill qualifying Brady's role and Brady's brilliance. He still just can't bring himself to say Brady's the greatest of all time, period, paragraph, next question.
He wouldn't touch any of the Brady questions today, not really.
No, he wouldn't. But even on the greatest thing, it's like, I had the best on defense and the best on offense. So it's like, and you know that if, you know, you ask Bill now away from, he's admitted it before that he thinks LT was better than Brady. I don't know, since he gets so much blowback, if he can bring himself to do it. So now it's like LT on defense, Brady on offense. Oh, yeah, and Matthew Slater on special teams. Like, Jesus.
But you know, even the LT Brady thing is starting to bug me a little, because when he links the two, you know what he's saying?
I had them both.
Exactly. He's making it about him. Totally making it about him.
I just think it's stuff like this that proves that he kind of thinks that all the players are kind of the same and he is the most important piece. So to your point, you're like, no, but I had them. Like, I'm the one that coached these guys.
Oh. Yeah, you know, because what he wants to say is, you know what LT and Brady have in common?
Me.
Matthew freaking Slater.
Moi.
Okay, back to your phones on everything. How about Matt in New Bedford with the Bruins talk? Go, Matt.
So, Mike, you sort of touched on it with Jake DeBrus saying that you wanted to just suck a little. And this brings me to my point. I think Sweeney should have done more at the trade deadline, specifically for the right side. I mean, do you guys really trust Jake DeBrus to not wither away when the games start getting really tough consistently? That's all he's done the past few years. And maybe you can kind of countermand that with, oh, well, he's playing with Marchand and Bergeron. I mean, he withered away with David Krejci, and David Krejci is one of the best pure passers in the league, and that the Bruins have seen for a while. So, I don't know. I think that's a big second guess that you can put on Don Sweeney's shoulders for the trade deadline.
Okay, we'll see how it goes. I think they have enough on offense. I think they have enough up front. I do. I think Jake DeBrus just has to not just suck a little, and I think they got enough up there. But make no mistake, I think Sweeney's job's on the line. His contract's up, and they haven't renewed him. So, like, do the math. I mean, usually if your contract hasn't been renewed, but if you're in the team's long-term plans, they sign you before you have a year up, except they'll let him go to the end. So if they're one and done, I think Don Sweeney's done. I mean, it is interesting they gave him the leeway to make this trade, though. I mean, they gave up some big future assets.
They did.
One first-round pick, two second-round picks. Vaakanainen, who was a recent first-round pick, so if you look at it a certain way, it's like two first-round picks and two seconds. That's quite a bit of leeway for a guy who you're, you know, going to show the door.
And they were ready to give up more. In fact, it's one of the things really I don't like, and I'm talking about in other deals if they were going to do it. But one of the things I don't like is the pattern with Sweeney. I think it's three first-round picks in the last 5 years he's traded away.
Like every other year he gives away a first-round pick.
Yeah, like that's too much. Wow. You can't be doing that all the time.
So they have to go give up all this for Lindholm because they can't draft it.
Correct.
And so that's like an obvious thing. But look, if they go on a cup run, I don't know if you fire the general manager. I mean, I think that's what it's going to take for Sweeney to keep his job. It feels that way.
Well, and at least in this case, they got a first-round type of talent back for 8 years.
Yeah, and they got him under contract.
Right. So they signed him, and they wouldn't have given all that up if they weren't going to sign him. So obviously the two go hand in hand. And I like the move that they made. I do. And look, they were able to get through it, too, if you want to buy into that, without giving up Lysell and without giving up Laurie. So I just wonder, with DeBrusque, if he goes south on him, what do they do?
Yeah, that will be an easy. Well, oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about something else. What do you mean, what do they do?
Like, how do they fix it? If they have to pull him out of the lineup, let's say he's that bad, what do you do? How do you, like, who goes in and plays right wing there?
Yeah, I would hate to put Pastrnak back up there. It works where he is.
I don't want to mess up Smith and Coyle.
Yeah.
I'm leaving that the way it is.
Yes, sir. This is what I'm telling you, DeBrusque. And the bar isn't even that high. You don't got to light the world on fire. Don't suck. Or just suck a little. Skate your lane. Get it on the forecheck. Let those other two do their thing. And just do that. And shut your pie hole already. You've been so mistreated, poor Jakey. God, just shut up and play. And suck only a little.
So we haven't had a chance to talk about this just quickly, but when you saw that they gave him the extension, didn't you think he was gone?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I thought so.
I was stunned when he came back. Stunned.
Ernie and Revere on the Pats. Hi, Ernie.
Yeah, I got a good question for you. Do we know for a fact that Belichick controls the money?
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't control the money.
Why isn't Kraft spending the money while telling him to go get other players? He should know what his team is like right now.
Agreed.
Kraft should be saying, get your guys on defense, get your guys need on offense, go do it.
Agreed. Absolutely. I agree 100%. It's on Kraft to say, Bill, it's okay. We can keep building. We'll keep spending. We can do it. We can figure it out. Of course, everyone else does. Everyone else can. We'll be one of those teams. And Kraft hasn't done it. So whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, but that's where it should be pointed to. It should be pointed to Robert Kraft and real money concerns, not the salary cap or Bill Belichick in some sort of plan. It's obviously ownership put a stopper on the money. That's where the conversation should begin and end.
I mean, when you add it all up, from the coaching staff to free agency and the trade market and all of it, given where we are, I can't remember a team taking a beating like the Patriots have taken on the offseason market, really in any sport.
They should. Expectations are high, and they should be high, and they're not meeting them. Luke in Vermont, what do you think of the Rob Williams injury?
I think it's key, Mike. We've talked a lot about this being the best team since the Garnett era, and a big part of that is size, athleticism, and rim protection. I think with the Celtics last night hitting the peak of their season, they had reached the conversation of being right there with Phoenix and Milwaukee on even footing with those two teams, and I think it was justifiable. With losing, they had the best starting five in the league, I think, but losing Rob doesn't knock them out of contention. What it does is it probably makes them a slight underdog against Milwaukee. They should still get to Milwaukee, whether that's the second round or Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not giving them a pass against Miami or Philly, certainly not Chicago. I do think it makes a difference against somebody like Bam, but they should be able to make a run, a deep run, and hopefully push it off until Rob gets back. I do think the pieces around Tatum matter.
Let me just stop you. I agree with that sentiment 100%. 100%. They should still be going on a run. They should still be beating most every team they were going to beat with Rob Williams, and they should be able to do it without him, with only one or two rare exceptions, which we'll get to. So we'll reset what was a big story for the Celtics and not a good one, and that was the injury status to Rob Williams. Here's the very latest with Big Jim and an update. There are no commercials, and we're right back to discuss.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.